This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And what thing do more people love to hate and hate to love than the Catholic Church? Am I right? But
No, for sure. I mean, I think we caught it all on air last week when you told me this is what we should cover, and I was like, why on earth would I ever want to watch this movie? And it is very, you know, male, and it is very mainly white, and it is very, Catholic, but it was fun. It was engaging. It's a political thriller, and, yeah, it was interesting.
Don't you feel like it has like a 90s movie energy to it to a certain degree? Like it,
yeah, it's like
old. Yeah. Legal thriller, like it's not a legal thriller, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. It feels like the type of movie that they don't make anymore, which I know that all the time about movies, but it's just
I think the filmmaker said something interesting. It was like, the ending, sure, there's a twist, but the ending doesn't even matter. People just want to like talk about the film, about the feeling of the different political agendas, which seem to mirror the discourse of the day. The movie could take place in Washington or within a company. The CEO job is gone and suddenly everyone gets out their knives and tries to get the job. That's what people understand and take away. And I think, that's surface level true. Like, it's just kind of this, it's like a compact succession. It's just these dudes have to get together and figure out who gets the crown. And so there is sort of a, there's a spiciness to it that's reminiscent of.
It's like Survivor or a political election or whatever, because it's a competition. We're talking about Conclave, which is the movie from Edward Berger, who directed All Quiet on the Western Front. It's his latest movie. And it's based on a novel from 2016 about a bunch of the Pope dies and a bunch of cardinals are vying for the new position. I'm sort of surprised that that there hasn't been a movie or book or something about this before, because it does just seem so juicy and ripe for a film of like, oh yeah, all of these like old, I guess maybe it's because they're all old, all of these old men like go to Rome and get locked up in a building for days on end until they can finally agree who is going to be the next pope. And it's just like rounds and rounds of voting and sort of like backroom dealing and whispering in hallways. And it was such a fun sort of mystery thriller to watch, and stars a cast of a bunch of old white men, mostly including Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci, and John Lithgow, but there are a couple of nuns as well, including Isabella Rossellini.
Literally 1 to 2 nuns, one named. But I think it's interesting because obviously Catholicism, older, grander, different than Mormonism, but Mormonism is very structured. Like I've never understood like how evangelicalism or even like who is the head of Methodist Church? Like it's just congregations, right? Like there's not like a president or a prophet or a pope or whatever, right? It's like you guys just go off of vibes.
I mean, I think it really depends on the church, like because I grew up Lutheran, and so we had a bishop, there was what's called a synod, which is sort of like a governing body that's made up of a bunch of people from different churches and bishops and pastors and things, but I think the difference between Catholicism and more evangelical Protestant churches is just that with Protestants, they came as an offshoot of Catholicism. And then basically whenever anybody has a disagreement, they sort of just branch off from that. So that's why there's all of these different, there's Methodists and Lutherans and Episcopalians and, you know, Reformed and non-denominational and Anglican, because if there's one sort of like little difference, then they kind of are like, okay, well, we're going to go two different ways and you're going to be a church and we're going to be a church. So I think in the larger evangelical network, there's not a ton of hierarchy just because sort of if there is an issue and a disagreement, people break off rather than sorting through it. Where the Catholic Church has been around for so long and is such a massive establishment that it's like if there is an issue, then people are fighting within the church to figure it out. There's not like, oh, you're just going to like branch off and start a new thing.
Right.
And then also within all of the Protestant denominations, like I think there used to be more of a structure and hierarchy to things, but because there's so many of these denominations, as there's become a lot less Christians to sustain them in the last 50, you know, 100 years, they've sort of had to start giving up things in order to try to maintain members. And so,
no, I'm sure it's inspired by God. I'm sure it's truth divine.
I mean, not even like that, like, cause there's, I think within the like Protestant church, there's not a lot of stress on the like, oh, like, did God give me a message? Whatever. Like God's messages should come through the Bible. And most Protestants are pretty like strict on that, because if people start having visions or, you know, oh, God told me something or another, then that's pretty like anybody can come up with that at any point in time.
Right.
And so, so they really try to stick to the Bible. And the Bible obviously also doesn't have anything in it about how to govern the Lutheran Church of Michigan. So there's not like a lot of tradition there, but as time has gone on and they're like, okay, you know, back in the 40s, we broke up with the Methodists because the Methodists believe that the communion wine is like a symbol of the blood of Jesus, and Lutherans believe that communion wine actually becomes the blood of Jesus. It's like when you're running out of members, you can't really be squabbling about that. So you're sort of like, we just like kind of won't talk about that or address it. And we're going to be non-denominational now and just like play some cool worship music and try to get as many people as we can. So,
so fascinating.
Yeah. Where I think with Mormonism, it's new enough. And they're
it's very structured,
like specific enough that it's structured and there hasn't been as much time to sort of like branch off from it or like dilute it in a way that Protestants have, where it's kind of like anything goes at this point.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating because like that's how I grew up, is like it's very, very structured. Like, you know, you have your prophet, you have the first presidency, then you have the 12 apostles, and all of them, it's like very hierarchical. And once you like literally the 12 apostles all have seen or testify of having seen Jesus Christ in the spirit, right? Like, so it's like you get up, you level up. And so it's like, it's always been confusing to me when churches are like, wait, so you don't have a, like, you have a bishop, you have like a head of the church, but it's not like, there's not a reporting structure, you know, there's no dotted line, direct report type of thing. Whereas there's Area 70 and there's there's so much.
Like, I don't even know what these words are that you're saying.
Organization. And so it was fascinating sitting down for this movie and being like, okay, yeah. This is religion as I've understood it. It's like there's structure, there are plans, there are traditions that go beyond like feeling and are actually organizational like tasks, you know. Like early in the movie, the guy running the show, who's like dean of the
Cardinal Lawrence
College, yeah, he's like, the Pope had told him there are shepherds and there are the managers of the farm. And like, that's like a real burden for him, is because he wants to be free of this sort of managerial position and either return to a shepherdship where he can feel like working with the people, getting closer to God. But he's going through his like faith crisis. And so he doesn't like the church on an organizational level, or he's kind of feeling frustrated by the church as an organization. And so right away, dialed in, I was like, and then just watching like the pomp and pageantry and like insistence on a certain way of doing things, down to a specific kind of prayer you have to recite or like promise as you cast your vote. And the whole idea of like this secret kind of process to get to what should be a very spiritual thing, which is the leader of the modern church and the closest person to God. Like, I found it so mesmerizing and kind of triggering, like, because it's different, obviously, in its scope. And when a prophet dies, no one gets to vote for the next guy. It's really based on like seniority, as far as how long you've been in the Quorum of the 12, the
I'm like, these words,
top brass, as you will. Yeah. But they do go into their little room in the temple, this like private room that only the quorum can access, because again, they've like seen Jesus in it or whatever. And then they like talk about it, and they have to have the Spirit confirm that this senior apostle is the one who will now carry the prophet's mantle. And like, they have to, you know, what is it called? Like, they sustain the prophet's calling, and then they come and report to us, little plebs, of like, yes, this is a new prophet. He has been ordained and given the keys of prophethood. So now he has closer access to God. And I mean, obviously, I have my own trauma points with the Mormon church, and I don't want to be like flippant to people's beliefs, even though like, I'll just calm down about this. But I did think part of what was really fascinating about this movie is like the strategizing that's going into these people catering votes and their intentions, good and bad, for wanting the popeship, right? Like the papacy, because there's like three major players at the beginning. One is this Italian cardinal, need to pull up the
Tedesco.
Name. Tedesco.
Yeah. So yeah, there's Tedesco, who's like the traditionalist, and he's Italian. And Ray Fiennes, this character, who Cardinal Lawrence, who's the one who's sort of like running everything or organizing, managing the conclave, which is the group of popes who get to vote on the group of cardinals who get to vote on the next pope. He's good friends with Stanley Tucci's cardinal, who's an American, Cardinal Bellini, and they are sort of more liberal and want to move the church in a more liberal direction. Like, Stanley Tucci gives a speech kind of at one point about, you know, like, we need more women involved, and, you know, saying things that I think are probably farther left than most people in the Catholic Church. But so that is one point of view. And then you have Cardinal Tedesco on the other hand, who's like this Italian traditionalist who's like, we got to keep things like more conservative. And then sort of
only.
Yeah. In between them, you have John Lithgow, who's Cardinal Tremblay, a Canadian who's like sort of a more moderate person. And then you also have Cardinal Adeyemi, who is a Nigerian cardinal, who's also sort of like more on the moderate side of things.
He's conservative, but black. So it's like a good look, I think, is how they spin it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, he's sexist and not great, but I guess he's good enough.
But he's not as bad as
Tedesco.
Because you're getting things from, you're getting things through like Ralph Fiennes' perspective. And I think like on the scale of left to right, it's like you have Stanley Tucci Bellini on the far left, and then you have John Lithgow, the Canadian, and then you have Adeyemi, the Nigerian, and then you have Tedesco, the Italian. And so they're from the jump, they're sort of strategizing on like, okay, how can we make sure that we don't get stuck with Cardinal Tedesco? Because that is the worst case scenario for him being the Pope. And the way that this works, which I guess I didn't really realize how the electoral process works for cardinals, but it's like there's a group of cardinals who are the conclave. They're locked up in this building in the Vatican together, and they just have to keep voting over and over again until someone gets a majority. And so, you know, they take a first vote, and it's like, oh, this person has this amount, this person has this amount. And then like they take a break, and everybody sort of goes and strategizes. And so it's like, okay, well, your guy only has 5 votes, and so he's probably not going to be the Pope. Well, how about you have those 5 people vote for our guy, so then that can be more because you're closer to me than you are to this other person. So there's a lot of like finagling, and this goes through a lot of rounds of voting where people go up
but
and
there's
go down.
Also like, there's no like campaigning out loud. So it's like, it's very interesting because it's not like they get to get up and give their speech about why you should vote for me or whatever. Like it's all very, everyone's supposed to pretend they don't want it. Everyone's supposed to pretend they aren't asking for it. And no one's supposed to like sit there and talk about like, well, maybe this should be the best choice. Like, yes, they do that, but it's all in hidden hallways and shadowed walks. And it's like, it was so, so, so mesmerizing to me just because it's like they're all pretending it's not about ego and it's not about selfish like reasons. That's they're trying to like say it's about like spirituality and like your inspiration from God or whatever. Like they're opening with prayers, they're having, you know, their songs and spiritual nourishment, but the underbelly is just people whispering about like, well, actually, like, I think you guys should get these people to vote. And it's like, well, you don't actually know who's voting for who. Like, it's all anonymous. And it's like, sure, you can strategize. But when you're playing this sort of like quiet game of strategy, it makes it hard to like really know who's pulling what strings. And so that adds to the tension amongst these cardinals as they're like second guessing the others, like, plan and strategy and whatnot, because everything's happening in back rooms.
And it's all couched in this very spiritual language, which I thought was very interesting. And that part really resonated with me because, you know, growing up in the church and as a Christian, there's lots of times where you say things with these very like Christianese terms of like, oh, you know, I really care about this person. Like, we got to keep them in our prayers. We got to pray for them. And it's like, okay, well, that's basically you just want to gossip about it, but you can't. So you have to come up with this, like, oh, no, this is actually like a Christian sort of thing. Another thing that it reminded me of is, and I went to a very Christian college, and I was in a fraternity, and it was a Christian fraternity. And so every year, you know, we would have rush and we'd be voting. You know, it's like meeting all of these different guys and then trying to figure out which, you know, 10 or 12 or whatever we're going to join our fraternity out of like you know, 70 options. And so there was always a lot of like, oh, well, like, I think like he's just like such a strong believer and he would really like steer us in the right direction. And he's just a really solid like man of faith. And it's like, okay, sure. But really what we're doing here is picking our favorites and then trying to like convince other people to also vote for our favorites in a way that doesn't make it seem like, well, that person just is annoying. I don't want them in this group with me. So you have to come up with Christian ways to say that. And that was what this was the entire time. Because no one can be like, I want to be the most powerful person in all of religion. You can't say that. So you have to say, oh, like, I feel burdened by God to take on this responsibility. Like, I feel like he is calling me and I don't want it, but somebody yes. has to take this mantle and maybe it's me. And it's like, no, we yeah. wouldn't want you to have to do it. I'll do it instead. Like, it was wild to watch them yeah. go through all of those semantics.
Well, that's why I was most like dialed in and probably enraged by Stanley Tucci's character, because he starts as like almost the given, you know, successor, because he was best friends with the Pope. He was like second in command, and he's like popular, and he's like, he seems so unbothered by this event, and yet he like projects this sort of like, oh no, I couldn't get it. I don't want it. I'm not going to. I don't want it. I stand for what I stand for. And you tell them this, or I don't want it at all. And it's like, he's very good at selling this, like, oh, I'm so humble, so meek. This isn't at all what I've dreamed of my whole life. And yet, very quickly, he's the one who's like triggered by Lawrence getting any votes and being like, oh, so you're strategizing for this, huh? You want this, don't you? You're trying to take this from me, aren't you? Everybody wants this. And he very quickly like sheds this humble attitude of like, as soon as it's out of his reach, he's like pissed about it. Like, he felt like he deserved it. And that's a very, 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 very familiar brand of faith and Christianity that I've seen, where it's like you're doing the dance, but as soon as like you lose out on what you think you were owed, it's suddenly like, oh, this was my right, this was my destiny, and it's been taken from me because you're selfish and you're nasty. And it's like, well, actually, you're just like revealing your own flaws and right. hunger for this,
because it's like, it's easy to be like, oh, like God gives us what we're supposed to have when you're rich. But then if you all of yeah. a sudden start losing money, it's like, okay, well, technically God is, you know, choosing to make you poor. So like yeah. that also should be a blessing and a, you know, opportunity to learn. But obviously yes. people don't take that the same way as they do when they're rich. And yeah, there was a lot of those dynamics going on. Because the Pope dies right at the beginning of the movie. So there's a little bit of stuff with the, you know, sort of the, like his kind of like burial and that kind of process. But then mostly, like the other popes arrive pretty quickly and they get locked down into this conclave. And there's sort of two main points of mystery right away. And the first is that this cardinal shows up, Cardinal Benitez, who nobody has ever heard of, nobody knows, and who supposedly was made a cardinal by the Pope, but because he's a cardinal from Afghanistan, the Pope couldn't say anything about it for, you know, security purposes for this Pope. And so you're kind of like, who is this? What is their story? And like, is there something more nefarious going on? And then at the same time, you also learn that Cardinal Tremblay, who is the John Lithgow's character, like may have had some sort of altercation with the Pope right before he died, or like there was something going on there that's maybe a little bit fishy. But because they're going into this lockdown, into this sequester, there's not really a way for Ralph Fiennes' character to like get to the bottom of whatever was going on with Tremblay and the Pope before they get locked down and have to start voting. Yeah. So there's this weird situation where it's like, okay, well, we could be voting for Tremblay, but he might be like have done something bad that we don't really know what he did. So, but then, you know, we can't really say that. So it was, yeah, there's these like two kind of like mystery points right off the bat as they start voting, and then as the movie goes along, stuff just kind of keeps going off the rails more and more in a very fun way. The pacing is incredible in this. Like, it chugs along at an electric speed, I think.
Yeah. I mean, one, John Lithgow, he just has the most punchable face. Like, I feel like he can never play a good guy in a movie, because I just get the worst vibes from him.
He's He's so incredible as an actor, I think, because he's one of those people who, like, you always know he's going to play the bad guy, but he looks so, like, nice, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, like, he's only ever cast as bad people, but all the bad people he's cast at are the bad people who, like, sort of you discover are bad halfway through the movie. And so whenever he pops up, you're like, okay, well, something is going on here. Like, we don't know what yet, but, like, what? This person is not a good option. How could you even say that? Yeah.
His energy. Yeah, no, it's an interesting, like, political thriller because, right, Lawrence, the main guy, is, like, having to gather this information without making it obvious he's gathering information because he's supposed to be in lockdown, too. And so he's, like, and he's also the one who's struggling with, like, a faith crisis. So there's this really interesting element where he is the one, like, using, like, playing the game in some ways. Like, he has all the tools in front of him to sort of sway the court. And so a question starts to rise, like, halfway through where you're like, is he really just trying to get the popeship for himself? And this was all just, like, strategy? Or is he, like, why is he so invested in this piece if he's the one who's also, like, struggling to believe in the church? And I found that, like, a really compelling central character, because if you had, like, an ardent believer or whatever, it's just like, okay, like a snooze, snore. I could not have watched this movie if it was, like, Stanley Tucci's character or even Benitez, like, holding our hand through this journey of, like, of destiny and faith. But instead, you have this person who's questioning it, and so you're allowed to kind of toy with the politics of it all without having to, like, lean fully on the faith and God steering the ship kind of destiny. So it was interesting, you know. It was like a very stylized, beautiful film, but it wasn't, like, overtly spiritual, you know.
Yeah, no, it's more political, I think, than it is spiritual, really. Like, I don't think it's really making the case for the Catholic Church at any point. And it, because he, you know, Ralph Fiennes, like, says he doesn't want to be Pope. And you believe him, or at least I did at the beginning, that he's sort of, like, the one person in the group who really does not want that job. But then when he keeps getting votes, you're like, well, maybe he actually sort of does. Or maybe this is going to be one of those situations where it's like, oh, well, the best person for the job is the person who doesn't want it. So he's going to end up being the Pope anyways. And I think that, yeah, it's not really saying that much about, like, religion as so much as it's saying things about power dynamics and sort of, like, I guess, politics and how they inform the church. He does give a... So at the beginning, before they start voting, he, because he's the dean of the College of Cardinals, has to give, like, this prayer sort of speech. And he gave something that I thought was really an interesting kind of stance on religion, which is that, like, the greatest sin is certainty, and we shouldn't be certain of things. Like, only God can be certain of things. Religion is based on faith, and that is the key tenet of it, that we're thinking about things that we don't know, and we're following them blindly. And so the moment that you start taking something as certainty is the moment that you're probably putting too much pride sort of in yourself and in your own beliefs, because you shouldn't be certain of them. And if you think you're certain of something, then you're holding it too closely and you're sort of ill-informed. And I do think that that is sort of how, I guess, I don't know, I view, like, spirituality and religion to a certain degree. It's like, we're dealing with things we don't know about. So you can believe whatever you sort of believe and think maybe that's true. But the moment that you're like, oh, I'm certain of this and I need to tell other people or other people are wrong, it's like, well, how would you even begin to know that? Because we're dealing with things that happened thousands of years ago with entities that are, you know, it otherworldly, or we're not dealing with those at all. It's like, or there's nothing there, but we can't know any of that. So like, you should hold on to all of these beliefs very loosely. And I thought that was a really interesting way for him to start the movie and the this voting. And I really liked that scene. And I was like, wait, I feel like we need to like be printing this out and sort of handing it to people who are a little too strong in their beliefs about religious things.
Well, because he says like, let us pray that God grants us a pope who doubts. Which, yeah, is automatically like, wait, what? And that's where people start to think, like, what game are you playing? Because, like, hello, you're the one who doubts. And, like, I think that does add intrigue to it. And I honestly, because you told me, like, oh, no one saw the ending coming. So I was, like, sitting there being like, okay, what could happen? And I was like, oh, he'll be elected. And then he'll, like, light himself on fire as, like, a sign of protest, or he'll be elected and then he will like announce his like denounce the church or whatever, you know, like I figured there was some sort of game that would reveal how little respect he has for the church, but it never goes that far. Like, it really doesn't, it's not disrespectful to the Catholic Church. It's not overly like spiritual, like you said, where it's like, oh, the Catholic Church is pure and good and wonderful. It's less concerned with the faith of it all, and it really does just boil down to these games of the men who are playing this, and in the background are all these little women helping steer the ship with little to no recognition, which was also fascinating in its own way. Like, there's one named nun who's like the, I don't know the title, but like the head nun.
Yeah.
I should know this from the other Catholic movie we watched this year. Mother Nun.
Oh, Immaculate? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm clearly not learning enough.
Mother Superior or whatever? I don't know.
That sounds right.
But they didn't call her that. Like, she's just Sister Agnes.
Yeah, Sister Agnes. She's like, she's basically the Cardinal Lawrence of the women's side, where she's managing. She's trying to keep house, and all the time these dudes keep on trying to interfere with her little tiny space of control. And that was like really well performed for me. Like, I felt her frustration whenever any dude was like, even Lawrence was like, come on, just let me talk to this lady. And she's like, no, it's not your responsibility. I'm handling it. And he's like, no. I demand I talk to this lady. And she's like, ah! Like, I just like feel for it as someone from a patriarchal church like that, where it's just, they are so invisible, disregarded, or when they are given power, that power is superseded by any man's whim at any given time. And so I felt like she was an interesting wrinkle to have in a film that's so about male like domination and control and influence. And she gets like her little moment to be like, oh, we're meant to be quiet, but God gave us ears and mouths, so let me drop this truth bomb right now. So it was nice to see that sort of play out in an interesting way, where they weren't given power, but their presence was felt in the film, even so far as the nun being brought in to sort of reveal one of their transgressions from decades before.
No, I thought that was very interesting, and I do think it sort of subtly points out the like one of the most glaring issues of the Catholic Church, which is that women aren't involved. Like, I think most other, I guess maybe not Mormonism, but I think most of the like Protestant groups at this point have opened up things to women, where like they can be pastors, they can be on the, you know, it's like where it's a lot more even, where the Roman Catholic Church, it's still like, oh yeah, if you're a woman, you can't have any of these positions of power, which is you know, I think there's a lot of attention brought to like the gay sort of aspect of things with the Catholic Church, but the woman thing seems like a much more glaring issue that they haven't ever addressed. So I like the fact that that seemed to be something that they were pointing towards here, even if it's not like a necessarily direct point of the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they start voting and they're going through these different rounds. And again, the Cardinal Tedesco is like the big bad and we can't let him be Pope. And initially it seems like Stanley Tucci might be getting some votes, but then it becomes apparent that he probably is too liberal and does not have enough supporters. And there's more supporters for Cardinal Adeyemi, the Nigerian. And so they have to, so the sort of liberal contingent has to have a little chat and be like, okay, well, should we vote for Cardinal Adeyemi just to avoid Cardinal Tedesco being the Pope? And they kind of just decide to agree to that. And then Adeyemi has like this altercation with this Nigerian nun who is working at the, who's working in the cafeteria. And people are like, wait a second, what is going on with this? And you realize that he, I'm like trying, how did this work? He
like had fathered a child with her.
Yeah. Like way back when, and that story gets leaked. And so then he's basically out of the running for Pope. And that's kind of like the first act or whatever.
Well, it's not even leaked because Lawrence finds out, but he's like, I'm not going to tell anyone because that was told to me in confession. But like the rumors are enough, like you having that altercation is enough that you're not going to get any votes. Like you just have to accept that. So it was interesting because it wasn't like an actual like gotcha moment in in the traditional sense of a film. Like it was much more like there was a sadness to it because he's just like, man, no one will ever like get to decide if I'm forgivable for this because they'll just think up their own sort of rumor around this, and it's just appearances enough that I'm untouchable now. Like it's too much for, I don't know. I thought it was interesting because, you know, there is another reveal later that's much more public and everyone has an opinion on it, but his was just like this sad defeat where he's like, man, like I, oopsie, you know, like that sucks. Like, and he doesn't even get to plead his case really.
Yeah. I thought that the way that they handled the sort of different characters and the different reveals worked really well because nothing is really the same. You know, it's not like you're getting the same sort of elimination, if you will.
Yeah.
Each time they nix one of these candidates, it's sort of something different because he gets removed or people kind of stop voting for him. And so his counts go down. And then it seems like the new alternative to Tedesco is Cardinal Tremblay. And that's sort of when Rafe Fiennes has to kick his detective skills up a notch because there's the threat that we might be voting for a Pope who was like disbarred or I don't know, like excommunicated, yeah. Whatever. The previous Pope, there's rumors that the previous Pope said, Cardinal Tremblay, you're not allowed to be a cardinal anymore. And now that person might be the new Pope. So Rafe Fiennes has to like, you know, dig around and is asking the nuns and is sending like his little assistant out to look for things and then breaks into the old Pope's bedroom and finds like letters tucked away in the,
for some
in
reason,
the Pope's bed, which I was like, like this is, I did have a question of like, is the hallway where everybody lives, like, is that actually what that looks like, or did they just make that up for the set? Because that is sort of a crazy,
well, I know like, they weren't layout. Able to film in the Vatican,
right?
But
yeah,
I do know that all the apostles live in the same apartment complex owned by the church. So
oh, interesting.
So I don't know, I feel like it, I could see that being real, where it's just like, yeah, this is where we house people and like, you know, nice enough quarters in the heartland of Catholicism. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. But so they find out that it was actually that Tremblay was buying votes, and then was also the person who shipped in this nun to sort of undermine Cardinal Adeyemi. And then how do they? So they figure that out, and then what? They like print out copies of him, of the
So Lawrence like prints out the proof and is just like puts it on the table for people to decide what to do with it. Little drama queen, love it. And at first, everyone's like, okay, Lawrence, this is a clear bid for you to get votes. Like, I'm not going to buy this bullshit. Like, this is plain dirty. But then the nun is like, no, he also shipped in the other nun to shame this guy. And so then people are like, oh, okay, so Lithgow is bad news too. Like, he, that's not great. And I mean, that was interesting too as well, because, you know, it's a Catholic church. You expect, like, molestation to come up as the crime to be, but this is like bribery, and it went so far as to like influence Stanley Tucci's character, where he's sort of like silences bot, where he's telling Lawrence, he's like, well, we just have to vote for him, he's the less of two evils. And Lawrence is like, what? Like, that can't be the motivation here. Like, if you believe in this church, like, you can't just think, okay, fine, like, you know, very, very pertinent discussion to be had of this whole idea of like, well, at least this person won't harm me, like, type thing. But yeah, eventually it's like, it's too publicly revealed how deep his machinations went that he loses the vote too, leaving only Tedeschi and his vape pen in the running.
Yes.
Which is also where things get interesting, because that's when Lawrence is like, his crew of liberals are like, you have to win this. You can take this. Like, you can do this. You have to be the Pope. And so that's where the movie like sort of started surprising me, because you have this big reveal of this like next vote, and Lawrence, who this whole time has been like, I don't want this, I don't want this, like writes his name down and goes to put it in the, you know, voting box. And then suddenly God shouts from the heavens and the entire ceiling explodes. And that's where I was like, wait, what?
Yes. I also did not see that coming. Because, yeah, you're kind of down to these, like, two final candidates in Cardinal Lawrence and Tedesco. And I guess there is the Afghanistan cardinal who's, like, been floating around. But he's sort of a... I don't know. Not that important at this point. Yeah. And then the wall gets blown out, and apparently there was a car bomb outside that somebody, you know, planted, that doesn't really like necessarily come into this. Cause then I thought, oh, maybe we're going to get some sort of like political, like, you know, there's a terrorist attack or something, that was
full
going
lockdown.
Take it off
Johnson
in a different
shows
direction.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. But this mostly just kind of like rattles everybody into like rethinking their perspective. And then how does the...
Because they gather to sort of like discuss what to do next. This is when Tedesco makes his speech, where it's like, it's all this, you know, acceptance and this living in peace and like, you know, oh, welcoming these people in, and, you know, goes on a racist rant about how we can't be tolerant of other faiths because all you get is like bloodshed, and it's a war. It's a war on religion, and we have to step up, and we need a general to lead us. And that's his pitch. And there's, you know, a big, yeah. And then Benitez stands up and is like, have you even seen war? Like, you don't know what war does. And gives this really quiet speech about like, no, we don't need sides, because in the end, like in an actual war, blood is blood and like injury is injury, and it's just ugly. Like, that's not at all what we should be striving for or imagining as a church that claims to lead by God's example. And so that speech is enough to rally the cardinals around him, and Tedesco loses as they finally get a winning vote, and it is the cardinal of 1 year, secret cardinal, Benitez, who's going to be named Pope.
Yes. And That,
and like, I was like, I got to this part and I was like, yeah, this was obvious, Matt. Like, what do you mean that no one guessed this was coming? Because like, as soon as the ceiling exploded and Lawrence realized, like, wait, I got too close to like choosing the easy route, like that wasn't my destiny type thing, I was like, okay, it's gonna be Benitez, like, hello. But that's not really the final twist.
Yeah, well, yeah, I thought sort of going, like, obviously when he shows up, you kind of think like, oh, maybe there's something nefarious going on. But then he has these scenes where he seems like the only kind of like true believer in the group, yeah, or like the kindest person. And he has these scenes with Ralph Fiennes, and he's the one who kind of keeps voting for Ralph Fiennes. So you get the sense that he could turn out to be the Pope at the end. And I kind of thought that what was going to happen was that Ralph Fiennes was going to win. Yeah. And then like turn it down or something. And they were going to have to re-vote and then Benitez would win. And so when Benitez won outright, I was like, oh, okay, interesting, whatever. But like a like solid ending to this. But there's also this plot that is going on throughout that Benitez had to go to a hospital or like was maybe going to a hospital. There's some sort of medical thing going on. And I also wondered if we were going to get an ending where Benitez got elected Pope and then like it turns out he has a terminal illness and he has to, and he's going to die. And then they have to re-vote again. Or, you know, like that was going to be the plot twist, that it was going to be some kind of like, oh, he has cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
Never in a million years did I think that the twist was going to be that Cardinal Benitez was intersex. Like, what? Which I guess is the twist in the book and is the twist in the movie. And it's like the prior Pope knew this and scheduled a surgery for Benitez to sort of have his, like, female parts removed, even though he was assigned male at birth, and that so that, you know, they could sort of clear this up, like, okay, he's a male, like, good to go, whatever. But that he decided, this is how God made me, I'm not gonna change it, and so I'm gonna keep this. And yeah, he tells this to Cardinal Lawrence after he's been elected Pope, and it's this big sort of moment where it's like, okay, well, what is Lawrence going to do? What is the Catholic Church going to do? Like, are they going to announce this? Are they not going to say anything? Are they going to keep it a secret? Like, how do we, like, move forward from that? And I think it does make the movie a lot more political than it otherwise would be, because it's like, oh, well, now there's this, like, you know, not trans, but, like, LGBT element to it that I'm sure will rile people up, but also sort of in a way that makes it seem like, well, you can't get too riled up about this because it was how this person was born, and it's like a physical anatomy. You know, it's like if somebody was born without a thumb or whatever, you wouldn't be like, oh, well, they can't be Pope. So it was very interesting.
And it just kind of calls out how stupid the gender debate is. Like, it's like,
right,
like, what, you know, like, what are you, what, like, what are you gonna do, you know? And his line is like, I am what God made me, so like, why change it?
But can you see anybody guessing this? Because at the end of the movie, my friend turned to me and said, oh yeah, I could see that coming. And I was like, that is such a wild out of left field plot that really has nothing, like, it's not hinted at, there's no connection to anything other than he went to a hospital. But it's like, I don't think that anybody would think, oh, he went to a hospital, I bet they made him an appointment so that he's intersex and was going to have his female sex organs removed. It's like, I do not believe that is possible. Like,
yeah, it was a pleasant surprise for sure. And I think I liked, how it was handled, where it wasn't like, it wasn't anything, because it isn't anything, right? Like, it's like, he was male, he grew up male, like, he, you know, that's it. And then when it came down to it, he's like, what do I care if I have a uterus? Like, this is, and it comes from his position of faith, where he's like, I am what I am. Like, why would I falter with that? And he's like, I understand, like, both, I understand what it is to not be one thing. And like, and I think that is a compelling argument. And like, I think, I don't know, I think it's like, yeah, a grabby sort of twist, but it's also like, the point isn't necessarily like, ooh, gotcha, pulled one over on the Catholic Church. Like, haha, they don't even know. They just elected an intersex pope. It's much more just like, well, you guys think I'm good for the job, so I'm going to do the job. And like, I don't know. As someone who's like not really into religion and do not care about the Catholic Church at all, I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, please stop with the Jesus talk at this point. But from a storytelling perspective, I was like, you know, this is a nice end for our main character, Lawrence, where he, you know, is faced with something to rock his faith yet even more. And yet that thing that he should be so scared of and ashamed of is the thing that actually brings him peace in his faith, where he's like, oh yeah, like this does give me the closure I want, and this does feel like the right step for this church, and why shouldn't things be this simple, where it's just we are what we are and we need to look out for each other.
Yeah,
because it kind of like ends pretty, you know, it's not there's not a lot of pomp and circumstance after that. Like, yes, they light the candle that lets the city know that they've named the new pope, but there's not anything grand of seeing him put on his papal robes and, you know, marching down the street of the Vatican. Like, it's just like, it just ends with Lawrence having this quiet moment, waking up in his little room, looking out the window and seeing the life carry on around him.
Yeah, I feel like some people have thought that the ending was like gimmicky and didn't like it that much. I feel like I really liked it when I saw it, and then sort of like maybe liked it less as time went on, but now I'm sort of coming back around to it. I don't think it's a bad ending. And I kind of like what it is saying. I think it is sort of abrupt maybe and shocking in a way that takes a second to like process and figure out how it works within everything else that the movie's saying. But yeah, I think like the sort of subtleties with the nun plot lines and, you know, other things that people are saying about gender throughout the movie, that this really does tie in with that, even if it has more of like LGBT sort of element to it. And yeah, I really liked it. I think this movie is so good. I think it's such an enjoyable watch, which is so rare for like big kind of Pope awards movies. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, and obviously it's about popes, but it's like, this feels like a movie that you could recommend to just about anybody and that they would enjoy it. Like, I think like maybe not like Catholic, super conservative people, but I think like older people will find it very interesting. I feel like if you were a young person, you would also find it interesting. Like the Succession industry kind of fans, I think, would enjoy it. It's just such an easy watch in a lot of ways. It moves along so well. And the
like score there's meat to chew on if you want it, but it's also just like a well-made, like well-paced, beautifully shot, kind of gritty thriller type thing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not like funny like Knives Out or whatever, but it has a it has a good like clip to it. And then also it's gorgeously shot, the cinematography, the directing. I think all the performances are really good. I think Ralph Fiennes is probably going to get nominated for best actor for his work in this. And I was like, oh, this is like one of the best movies of the year, and I'm very excited that it is doing well. So
Well, I also liked like the little things. Like I liked how Benitez's name for the Pope was Pope Innocent, which is so like ironic given how many wanted like John, or, you know, there's like an ego involved in wanting to name yourself after one of the original 12. And this guy's just like so childlike in his wonder of even making it into the room. And then I did just look up, the Pope has like a palatial space in the Vatican, but it was an intentional choice of this film to have the Pope choose to stay in this like little school, this little college. So that was meant to be a tell of his like liberalism and
the previous Pope, the
humility.
Dead Pope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So technically he could have been living large, but he chose not to. So that answers your question.
Okay. Yeah, I thought this was very good movie. Good movie. Which yeah. brings us to the question of what is our next week's episode going to be about?
Did you keep up with Agatha all along or?
Oh, is that the is that when is that
I don't remember week? If there's one or two.
I'm like, let me
look. I think it I might actually... be next Wednesday.
Agatha all along. I actually have not watched that at all, but but I will catch up because I do feel like it was good. That ends yeah, there's two episodes left, but it is next it ends on the 30th, oh. I guess.
Oh, yeah. So that's one episode left. Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. There's two episodes of the end. Okay.
Oh, okay. How I long? See. So they're doing a double. I see.
Yeah.
They're like 30 minutes, 20 to 30.
Yeah,
minutes.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. I'll try to I'll try to binge that then over the weekend.
Okay. Cute.
Perfect.
Be fun.
Yeah, because okay. otherwise next week we would have. Yeah, a bunch of sort of random movies that are coming out. I'm upset, though, that I'm going to be gone when Wicked and Gladiator come out. We'll have to do an episode on that whenever I come back, no matter, like, when it is.
No, I'll just find someone to do a guest spot. You'll just miss out on the discourse.
How dare you? The Lord has told me that you are not. The Lord's giving me a message, and
yeah, he says, exactly.
You're not equipped to handle this by yourself.
You're not where you need to be. Yes, so the Lord has found different ways.
Mm-hmm. The Lord's telling me there's a sin in your heart. There's a sin in your heart that you need to correct before you get to this.
I am officially the lead co-host, and I'm excited to right, come exactly.
I was anointed by the 12 prophets and the Lord of blah 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 blah.
Yes. Oh, I've tallied the votes, and you have been found wanting. So, alas.
I'm most pleased that I thought that you would like this movie, and you like this movie. Like, I'm very I'm very glad that I convinced you to watch a movie about a bunch of old religious men.
Yeah, it was honestly, yeah. I mean, the bar was on the floor because of my expectations, but yeah, it was good. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Perfect. Okay, well, we'll be watching Agatha all along next week, and we'll see you guys then. Bye.